unnecessary roughness. With 11-year NFL veteran, Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, and captain of the National Championship Michigan Wolverines, John Jansen. And 10-year NFL veteran, two-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, and Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, T.J. Lang. Now, here's John Jansen and T.J. Lang.
Well, T.J., the draft is finally here. We're downtown Detroit. We're recording this on Wednesday. Obviously, it's going to kick off Thursday night.
Day away.
I know. I can't wait. It seems like it's gotten here a lot faster because we finally had a run in the playoffs. But just coming down to Detroit, describe to everybody what it's like down here if those are thinking about coming either Thursday night, Friday, or Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's right now. I mean, we're here Wednesday afternoon. It's calm before the storm. You see a lot of people out there working, and the anticipation is definitely in the air. You know, I think Detroit's waited a long time for a big, you know, NFL event like this. Haven't had one since, what, the Super Bowl, I think, in 05. Yeah. And this is a massive event, man. And this city, I think, has earned it. I think these fans have earned it. And I can't wait to see just what the weekend looks like. You know, I know I'll be down here Thursday night at Ford Field for the draft. But I can't wait to watch it on TV and just see how the city looks. And, you know, because I think a lot of us, you know, older guys now growing up in Detroit always came with a bad rap, right? Oh, it was kind of like, oh, man, you're from Detroit. That's, you know, but now it's like we get a chance to really showcase our city on one of the biggest stages for the NFL draft. And I'm excited. It's going to be packed. It's going to be rowdy down here, I'm sure.
Did you say you're bringing the family there at some point?
No, I don't think we are going to make it, John. We have we have plans. You two, you coming down all 3 days, I think.
Well, Thursday night I'll be down here. I'll be down in the downtown area, a couple events going on, and obviously 97.1 is going to be over at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I probably will make a stop in there. The question is going to be, obviously the Lions pick at 29. There's a lot that's going to go into this draft, but do they stay at 29? Do they move up? Do they move back? If they stay at 29, who's the pick?
I mean, it's hard seeing them staying at 29. You know, if you're going to force that on me, look, I think at that point you'd find pretty good value on the offensive side of the offensive line. Yeah. I think there's a lot of guys, depending on how the board falls, obviously, but there could be a lot of interior guys, I think, that could be there at the end of the first round, early in the second round, that could be day one starters. We know that on this offensive line, with the five guys they have, probably not going to be room for anybody coming day one and start, but that is a position group that you have to start worrying about depth a little bit, right? We know Taylor Decker's getting year nine free agent after this year. Frank Ragnow, look, I think he kind of teased a little bit after the season that he was going to need some time to kind of think about his future. Obviously, you know, we know he's coming back, but how many good years does he have left, right? Graham Glasgow, Kevin Zeitler's, you know, year 12 or 13. You're not going to have that group together for a whole lot longer. So, and we obviously know it's the strength of their team. So, you know, if they're sitting there at 29, I think you got to take a hard look at the offensive lineman on the board and start building for depth, you know, because eventually those guys are going to move on. Well, the best way, we know they're trying to work their way into being one of those consistent contenders is to keep your strength a strength. And we obviously know that's on the offensive line.
Yeah, and I mean, there's depth on the offensive line. And with Frank not knowing if he's going to make a full season, I mean, they've had injuries across the board. The only one that's consistently been there is Penei Sewell. Yeah. Everybody else has been kind of in and out, not for long stretches, but – that's one. And Kobe Soersdal, we've talked about him, his development. Owusika is still on the roster, and he came in the NFC Championship game and played, I thought, very well. So they've got some guys that they can plug and play, but that top-end talent, if you're looking long-term, I think this is an opportunity. In the interior guys that are available in this draft, if they stay at 29, and I'm with you, I think they either move up to take a corner, and we could talk about some of those guys in a minute, or they try and move back to acquire some more picks.
Yeah.
But you also have to have a willing trade partner. Who is it that is going to be willing to trade with the Lions and give up that 15, 16, 17 pick or 20s, whatever it is, to move back to 29 versus the Lions moving back? They got to have somebody that wants to move into the first round and get that guy, that extra first round guy. And if there's a quarterback available, maybe that's one of them. But
and it kind of seems like it's going to go one of two ways where Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell maybe think, because we talk about all the time, last year you know, we kind of needed those top four picks to play, right? You needed LaPorta, you needed Gibbs, you needed Jack Campbell, you needed Brian Branch.
And he hit on all of them.
And you hit on all of them. I mean, that's rare. That's not going to happen again. I can't promise that because I don't know what tricks Brad Holmes has up his sleeve. But it's not going to happen simply for the fact that you don't have that many holes on this team, right? Last year, you had still a bunch of holes that those guys were able to come in day one and be starters at. Maybe in the secondary. Maybe if you go the wide receiver route, you can get a guy in, maybe a pass rusher that can come in and be a part of that rotation. But there's not many holes. So I think you go one of two ways. If Brad Holmes, and look, his background, you know, coming from the Rams, I mean, they're getting ready to make their first round pick in 7 years, right? He comes from a team that wasn't afraid to move up and down the draft and go get a player they like. And even if it's trading the 29th pick for a player somewhere else, right? I think that's still on the board. I think it's going to go one of two ways, where Brad Holmes either says, hey, we feel like we can move up to 15, 16, 18, depending on the board falls, and go get one guy. And that's going to be the difference for us. Or we can still take this approach that we want to be contenders for 5, 6, 7 years. So maybe let's try to trade back and start to build the depth that way. I don't see them picking at 29. And Brad Holmes, we already know the last 2 years has moved around the first round, right? Yeah. He traded up a couple years ago for Jameson Williams. Last year, trades back down to get a couple more pieces. It's going to go one of two ways. I just don't see him standing pat at 29 and picking a guy. We know Brad Holmes likes to be a lot more aggressive than that.
So if it's an interior lineman, I there's two guys that I really like because of their versatility. It's Zach Frazier out of West Virginia, but number one I think is Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. He's both of those guys, if Frank is still in there. We saw Frank when he was drafted, he played guard.
Yeah.
And then eventually moved to center, which is his more natural position. Either of those guys I think would be versatile and eventually take over for Frank whenever he decides that he's going to be done playing football. You mentioned a guy when we were together last night, Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State?
Yeah, Kansas State.
What do you like about him?
He's a mauler. I mean,
he's a monster.
You watch it on film, and I mean, he's just a mauler. You know, he seems like a Dan Campbell type of guy where he's just gritty. I mean, it's not always flashy with him, but, you know, he fights and growls and just does the dirty work, you know, and gets a job done. I mean, I think that's obviously a characteristic that we know this organization really finds very redeeming and try to seek out those guys. You know, probably not going to be a first round pick, but I think, you know, if we were talking in the situation moving down and maybe picking up some more picks in the second, he could be a guy that could come in and probably has the potential to be a day one starter, like Jackson Powers Johnson, like Grant Barton, like Zach Frazier, some of those other interior offensive linemen have that ability. So I think Cooper Beebe would probably be a guy in the second that you could look at. And look, Jonah Jackson, we know, was a third round pick a couple years ago, came in day one and started. He would be a guy that I think would fit in, you know, just characteristic wise into that offensive line room. And I think, you know, he would, if he was wearing those brand new Honolulu Blue jerseys that we just saw unveiled last week, I would be happy, man. I think that would be a home run.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And you know, here's the other thing. The way that this draft falls, we had a chance to talk to Dan Campbell this morning, and he mentioned that there's the top of this draft, there's probably 15 guys that are unique, special, probably day one starters. And then it drops off a little bit, but there's going to be a run of players after that. And it's really going to be interesting to see how this falls, because I think at 29, if the Lions are going to trade up, I don't know how far they're going to have to go, because he also said it's very deep in offensive players. So Does that mean you get a run on offensive players and more of them are taken high, or because there's going to be a premium on the defensive players, are they going to go off the board first, knowing that there's a quality in offensive players that you can get later in the draft? So we know that quarterbacks are probably going to go 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. And who knows what order they go in, other than Caleb Williams going to the Bears. Washington, New England, they are both in need of a quarterback. I think it's going to be interesting to see what New England does, if they stay there and take a quarterback, if they take Marvin Harrison Jr., or they even trade out of that position to acquire more draft picks. They're a team and an organization that needs a lot.
Yeah.
But you're going to have quarterbacks, probably four of them taken, at a minimum, four in the first round. It's deep and wide receiver. You got Brock Bowers as a tight end. You've got all of the linemen. It's a deep offensive line draft as well. And if it pushes some of those, like a guy like Jared Verse, a little bit deeper, you might have a chance to trade up, which is what I would prefer with that 29th pick. You can give up a third round pick or even that second round if you got to go as high as 15 to get a Tarion Arnold. That would be my number one choice if they were able to get up that high. Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, I think, would be a great pick. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, I think, as well. I think all three of those guys are going to be off the board by the time they pick at 29.
Yeah, and who knows, though? You know, I mean, who knows? And here's the interesting part. I know you mentioned you talked to Coach this morning. You know, he talks about probably 15 guys, you know, that you know, this year probably have a high grade on. Do you think they factor in quarterbacks in that? Like, I know you have to evaluate every position, but if you're the Detroit Lions, and it kind of, I wanted to ask you a question.
They're not spending too much time on evaluating the quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. But we also know that Brad Holmes, if he has a high grade on a guy that's sitting there and falls down to the draft, he's not afraid to take him. You know what I mean? I'm not predicting
Michael Penix at 29.
Here's the question. If you're sitting there at 20, I'm not predicting it, John. It's just asking a question. And I hope they don't do it. But would you be surprised if at 29 there is a quarterback there and they say, we had literally a top five grade on this guy. We think he is going to be a stud. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I would do it. But what Brad Holmes has shown us over the last couple of years is he's very unconventional with the players that he tries to pick. He doesn't look at, the analytic side and the positional value. And much like we talked about, you know, last week when there's a linebacker that he said, hey, I've got a top 12 grade on this guy. Do I need a linebacker? No, but he's a hell of a football player, man. He can help our team. Do you think quarterback is completely off the board? Because that's why I asked you, would they even factor in the quarterbacks in their top 15 evaluation?
So they're going to evaluate them. So they're going to know. And Caleb Williams, they're probably going to evaluate because he's going to be in division. They're going to evaluate the rest of them because who knows what does Minnesota do? Do they trade up to 3 with New England? Is there any way they could pry the number 2 pick away and take a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May? Who knows? But there's probably going to be 2 of them in division. So they're evaluating them, whether it's to draft them or it's to, you know, start the process of figuring out who they're going to be playing against. But the only one that might be available for the Lions is going to be Michael Penix. Bo Nix, I don't think he factors into – I just don't think he's a first-round talent. Michael Penix is unique because he was very effective at Washington, and he's got a big arm. He could throw the deep ball. He's accurate. He stands in the pocket. He's got great awareness. His football IQ, I think, is really high. And so do I think that they take him at 29? No. But they've got to know at 29, if he's there, what type of value do they have if they're going to trade back? If somebody wants to come up and get a quarterback late in the first round, they want that fifth-year option, how good is he? What do we have at this position? And they can market it and maybe get some more back in terms of trade value. If they can, I don't know, if Oakland doesn't get a shot and they don't take the quarterback they want to take somebody else at, you know, what are they picking at 15? Maybe Seattle. If they want another, you know, shot in the first round of taking a quarterback, if they want to get back into the first round and then start pitting teams against themselves,
yeah,
you know, start a bidding war, and they've got to know what they have. So that's the only reason that they would be evaluating him in regards to not drafting him, but what type of value, if he's available, do they have to offer another team that would want to come up and take him?
Yeah, and you have to evaluate everybody because you never know what's going to happen on draft day, right? I mean, this hasn't happened in a while, but remember, like, Laremy Tunsil was supposed to be the number one guy, right? Tackle. The whole thing come out with him about the drugs, and he starts dropping in the draft, and all these teams are saying, man, we didn't think we'd have a shot at him. He's supposed to be a top 3 pick. Well, he's sitting there. That's the reason why you have to evaluate these guys, because there might be a guy that you say, hey, probably going to be gone in the top 10. Maybe something happens and an injury issue comes out or a red flag, and he's sitting there at 29, right? So you have to make sure you do your homework on everybody. I just think when you hear Coach say, hey, we've probably got, you know, 15 guys, that list for them is probably more like 6 or 7, because you already know the top 7 guys are probably not getting out of the top 10, right? You know, the top 3 quarterbacks are not getting out of the top 5. You know that Marvin Harrison Jr. is not probably getting out of the top 10. Same with Romo Dunze. Same with probably a couple of the offensive tackles, Joe Alt. You probably know that, hey, we're not, those guys are not going to fall to 29. So that's where I think your list gets a little bit smaller instead of that 15. Or do they just take those guys completely out of the equation and say, hey, there's 15 other guys. We already know the top five guys are probably going to be there. There's probably 15 other guys we feel like we're going to have a chance to maybe move around and maybe get one of those guys. So that just depends on and how the board falls. And that's not surprising to hear them say, because I think Brad Holmes last year kind of had the same number. You know, I think it might even be been less, 13 or 14 guys that we had really high grades on. And they got both two of those guys that they had high grades on, Jack Campbell and Jahmyr Gibbs. So it'll be interesting to see, obviously, what happens not only this weekend, but really Thursday night. And where does the draft start for you? Because I think today's news, the Bears have pretty much said, hey, we know what we're doing. I think even Washington has said, yeah, we pretty much know what we're doing. I think it was New England picking at three. Nobody really knows what they're going to do. The history, now I know Gerard Mayo's there now, but Bill Belichick was a notorious trade back guy. Just give me as many picks as possible, right? I'd rather have 15 picks than three premier ones. The draft for me might start with them, or it might start, I think, at even number four is
Arizona,
right? That might be the big domino that falls. Which teams are going to start moving around to maybe move up, maybe come up and get another quarterback. Maybe somebody wants to go up and really get Marvin Harrison Jr. That, for me, is where I think the draft starts at number three, depending on what New England does. And that can start a lot of dominoes to how the first round is going to play out.
So let me ask you this. And, I mean, no matter what New England does, I think they're going to be right back here next year with a high pick because they need so much. So if you are Jerod Mayo, you're in that front office, would you rather take what's a more sure bet? Drake May, JJ McCarthy, if Jaden Daniels goes and Caleb Williams is gone, those two quarterbacks or Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like what do you think you could hit on better at number three if you stay in that position?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
And so, I mean,
I think that is New England would be the worst situation out of all the teams that are in a position
for a quarterback to go to. Yeah, hell,
that would be a rough rookie camp, much like we saw with Bryce Young last year in Carolina. The team's just nowhere ready to win, right? Nowhere near ready to win yet. That would be a disaster, I think, for a rookie quarterback stepping into year one as a starter. Now, they would build in a couple years, but I'm just saying at all three or four teams that are talked about, you know, being linked with quarterbacks, that would be the worst situation by far.
So that's my point, is the draft certainly starts with New England, because if they decide to go out of the conventional thinking that they're going to take a quarterback and go with Marvin Harrison Jr. and start putting some pieces together so that when they're in this position next year, they can draft a quarterback that will be set up more for success. That, you know, they have some more of those pieces around. Yeah. Or here's the other option for New England is, I mean, Minnesota. They've put together a lot of draft capital, trading back into the first round already with 11 and 23. They've got two first round picks. They could throw in some more, try and move up to three so that they know that they can get their guy.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden the number three pick goes from the worst situation for a quarterback to go into probably the best situation. So if it's Drake May or if it's JJ, now all of a sudden you go to Minnesota. If they take that number three pick, again, it doesn't throw the draft off in terms of who goes. It's going to be a quarterback, but you have the ability as a quarterback to go with Kevin O'Connell, who's a tremendous, I think, a really good offensive mind, especially for a young quarterback. I mean, he was almost able to scrape together a playoff appearance using four throwaway quarterbacks after Kirk Cousins got hurt. And you've got Justin Jefferson, you got Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Aaron Jones, a decent offensive line because they drafted offensive line last year. Defense, even though they lost, you know, a good edge rusher, they were able to go and add more on defense as well through free agency. So they're literally a quarterback away from being a force again, not just in the NFC North, but in the NFC in general.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking at this division right now, if you're Lions fans, saying, okay, Bears, rookie quarterback, Minnesota, pretty good chance rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
And Jordan Love, you know, going into year two, right? Had a pretty good first season. I know he wasn't a rookie last year, but that's a lot of uncertainty at quarterback in your division. But you're right. And going back to New England, yeah, you kind of take the Bears approach last year, right? The Bears had number one pick.
Capital. And
do we want, you know, Bryce Young or You know, do we want to pick up a couple more players? And then when we're ready, you know, when the team's better, we'll get our future guy, which is the route that they're going to this year. So, look, the Bears have been really smart the last couple of years. I think they're going to be a much better football team. But like we all know, I mean, rookie quarterbacks tend to take a little bit of time to adjust to this league. So if you're Lions fans, man, I think I'm feeling pretty excited, not only about what we're doing, but what other teams are doing in the division. Now, maybe 2, 3, 4 years from now, you know, those quarterbacks turn into something big. But, you know, the opportunity to, you know, go back and do the same thing you did last year, win the NFC North again is pretty much right there in front of you to go be a Thane again.
Yeah, and that's tomorrow's problem. You know, that's for Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell to continue to build this team and figure that out when it happens. But the issue right now is they're a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. They should be competing for the Super Bowl next year. And so you can't necessarily worry about what's Chicago doing right now, what's Minnesota going to be doing. You're going to adjust as everybody goes. But right now for Detroit, it's do you trade up and try and pair best available with the need, which I think is corner. And there's no, you know, urgent need on this team, which is why we're kind of left wondering what's going to happen at 29. Right. They trade up, they trade back. Do they pick there? Kool-Aid McKinstry. Excuse me, is a guy that has been mocked to Detroit a lot, and we know the value in mock drafts, but he's kind of the next guy on the board as a corner that would be there. Would you be okay with Kool-Aid at 29?
Yeah, I mean, I would be okay with anybody at 29 because I trust Brad Holmes. Yeah. You know,
how about a receiver?
A receiver I'd be fine with because I think that also is a need. Now, you know, obviously they're counting on Jameson Williams to take a big step and hopefully become a reliable number two. Which he should now that he has a whole offseason without really any distractions, you know, going into year three. But yeah, we know that. Look, and Josh Reynolds, man, look, we all know that the way that season ended and the NFC Championship game left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth, but he was a good player for this team, man. He was a big part of why they were there. So that number three role is a very important part on this offense, man. It just is. And is DPJ going to be that guy to step into the role? I don't know. You know, we'll see. He gets a full offseason with the team now, right, instead of coming in halfway through the year. But I would – and I think this is a deep wide receiver class, too. I think there might be 5, 6 guys that go in the first round, maybe 7 or 8, depending on if teams fall in love with the speed of a Xavier Worthy type guy and just want to go get, you know, the next Tyreek Hill, hopefully, right? But yeah, I wouldn't have any issue with corner. I wouldn't have any issue with wide receiver. I think going back to our conversation last week, look, running back, quarterback, linebacker would probably be positions where it's like, okay, maybe. But even if he went that route, you'd say, okay, well, they obviously had a high grade on this guy and their team got better. I wanted to ask you this question, though, and this is kind of unique because we haven't been there here in a long time. Assume the Lions had no draft picks at all this weekend. Would your thought about this team going into the season change at all?
No.
And right.
And that's the beautiful thing
about
where,
isn't it?
Well, especially with, you know, 3 years ago, this was the worst roster in football.
Yeah, by far.
And so then you fast forward 3 years and okay, all 23 picks that Brad Holmes has had is on the team. And it's remarkable to have that type of success rate, especially at the top end of the draft and some of the high end talent that he's been able to get. But some of that talent, if they were drafted now, wouldn't make the team simply because they're that much deeper. They have that much more talent. So if they had no draft picks at all, yeah, I still think that they're contending for the NFC Championship. They're a Super Bowl contender. But the beautiful thing is, and that's why when I talk about trading up in a draft, normally I'm not a trade-up guy because I want more draft capital. Right. I want more depth. Picks.
Yeah.
But there's a high likelihood that there could be guys that are drafted in this draft in the 6th or in the 7th round that simply don't make the team. Yeah. And if that's the case, then use some of that as collateral. Use some of that value that you have that other teams need that need a lot of draft picks to pair it with a third to go up and get the guy that you actually need.
Yeah, and I'm with you too. And I think I kind of look at these picks and you don't want to be reckless by any means and just say, hey, we're going to trade everything to go get one player. I don't think that's smart. But I do think there is a fine line of being aggressive that you're allowed to do with this roster, with how you've constructed it and the pieces that you have. So for me, you know, probably to close it out here, a dream scenario for me would be to move up somewhere in the top, let's call it 16.
Yeah.
Now that's probably going to cost you a second and probably a third. Maybe a, I don't know if they have a
future.
Fourth, but future, right? That's going to cost you a couple picks. But that to me, I think, would be a sign from Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell to say, we feel exactly how the fans feel, that we are a Super Bowl contender. Mm-hmm. And we would rather have one guy at a premier position to get us over that hump this year into the Super Bowl than maybe worry about filling depth and filling guys that you're probably going to rely on more next, more in two or more, maybe 3 years from now. I think that would send a signal that would not only to us fans, but probably the rest of the league that we're ready to do this thing again, man. We're not going anywhere. Yeah. That would be a dream situation for
well,
me.
Well, we're here. It's the draft.
Made it.
And we'll be back next week to talk about what the Lions do in the draft, you know, what they do in the first round. But not just that, we're going to be talking about the entire draft, what it means moving forward. And we'll revisit free agency over the next couple of weeks, because there are still some guys that are available that they could sign to fill any holes that they're not able to fill in the draft that they feel that they still have. But we thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week on Necessary Roughness.